saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. Not as magnificent as we hoped it would be. We're going to talk about that a lot today. But one of the things that I want to say before we get too deep into the show, and this is not something that's unique to Mississippi State fans, and there's a reason that people react as emotionally as they do when things don't go the way we want them to. And it's because we care. Now, I encourage all Bulldog fans to be as supportive as you can be. But in the moment, it is very difficult to see the big picture, right? It's kind of like going and getting your teeth cleaned, right? It's like, all I know is I want the drilling and the pain to stop. But I know long term, this is better for me. Better for my appearance, my health, all that good stuff. But in the moment, it just hurts. I just want it to stop hurting. That's kind of how it is in these ball games. When things kind of get away from us a little bit, you think, you know, my goodness, what does it take? I need something to make me feel better. Fire somebody, right? That's how it feels. But it all comes from a good place. At some point, all of us have said some things in the fit of frustration over a Mississippi State sporting event. Maybe we didn't go post it on a message board or go over to Gene's page and do that or go on Twitter or Facebook. So maybe some of us didn't do that. And then like the next day you wake up and you're like, yeah, I'm kind of glad I didn't post that, right? But the reality of it is, I think it's important for all of us to understand, no matter how we express that frustration, we all want the same thing. And that is for Mississippi State to win and win big in every sport. And we deal with that a lot in my line of work. You know, people are like, this guy's always negative. Well, a lot of times, too, when you're getting what you want, when you're getting wins, you're not going to talk as much, right? There's some people that are like that. It's like, hey, I just want to vent when I'm upset. It's kind of like in your relationship, right? When you're getting what you want in a relationship, you don't really have a lot of emotional outburst. You just kind of live life and be happy. But when things start going south, you got plenty to say. And maybe for some of us, we don't say it enough, right? But I believe in balance, right? I mean, I hate to be the dumping ground for people, middle-aged adolescents that are throwing a temper tantrum. But that happens. And so I wanted to open the show with that because I love each of you. Even those that don't love me, I still love you. And I'm glad that you're a Mississippi State fan. It's so funny, too. I'm out in Arizona. A lot of great Bulldog fans made the trip out there. And for those of you that did, thank you for showing up. We didn't get the result we wanted, but it was a great trip. I really enjoyed being out in Tempe. The people were great. Got a chance to get out and go tour a little bit. Got a chance to go over to the Pedal House and run into some Bulldog fans over there, spend some time with all of them before the game. And so, it's always nice when we can congregate, you know, maybe in a foreign land like Arizona. And I mean that because Mississippi is kind of a sovereign state. You get my point. But that was great. But there were so many people out there that it was their first time, right? Their first trip to Arizona. And but it's funny, you know, I meet a lot of people. A lot of people come and say, hey, Steve, thanks for the show. Love the show. Appreciate the books. I got your book. And I always say, which one? And they look at me kind of befuddled. And they go, oh, you wrote more than one? Yeah, I've written seven. Yeah, seven. Not that I'm insecure about it or anything, but it just always kind of strikes me when people say they wrote the book. A lot of times it's Flim Flam or Dog Pile, but occasionally it'll be Alpha Dogs, you know. But anyway, so, you know, get to meet people. And I noticed there was a group of people. And the longer I talked, there was one guy that never said anything. He never said anything. And I thought, well, maybe he's a little bit socially awkward. I don't know. I don't want to assume. But I kind of got the sense he didn't like me. Kind of got the sense. And before I left, I went up to him and said, hey, just want to let you know, appreciate you being here. and supported Mississippi State. Shook his hand, walked away. There were no other words exchanged. But that's the way that I try to go through life. Like, I'm not going to give people, like a stranger, I'm not going to give that person a reason to dislike me, right? I'm going to get my feelings hurt, you know, because the guy doesn't have on a Rose Bowl his ride shirt or something. I mean, come on, you know. But there are people that are going to dislike you for no good reason at all, right? That's just kind of how life is. And if you live life thinking you're going to please everybody, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lead a very exhausting life. You just got to let people be who they want to be and love what they want to love. But that's the thing, is despite our differences, we can unite in a common cause. And that's Mississippi State fandom. And so I just encourage our fan base, let's not get at odds with each other too much. Of course, that engagement's good for business for us over Gene's page. And we, you know, a good debate's a great thing. But one of the things that we don't want are these Gestapo groups that, like, anytime somebody asks a question or has a point that maybe is contrary to your viewpoint, then all of a sudden everybody gangs up and makes that person try to feel stupid. That person loves Mississippi State just as much as you do, if not more. Just because you know, can't handle your emotions or your liquor doesn't make you a better fan. On the flip side of that is there's some people out there that just don't know how to articulate their frustration. And they may tend to be a little bit negative. That doesn't mean that you love Mississippi State more than they do. It's just important to understand it takes all kinds. And if we had, you know, a message board community or something like that where everybody agreed, to be awfully boring. I like a good debate. I just like those debates to be, you know, rooted in facts, you know, rather than, you know, perception. You know, there's a lot of things people go out there and say, hey, this happened or whatever. Nobody goes to check. And people just begin to assume that's the case. I mean, there are some people in our industry that are like that too. I mean, just absolutely, you know, all of a sudden there becomes a popular talking point. They just kind of run with it. Don't go do their own investigation. Don't do their own research. And they just go out there and parrot this same talking point. And later we find out it wasn't true in the first place. That happens a lot. Because ideally, many people are lazy. That may be breaking news to some of you. I had a discussion with a friend earlier today, and we're going to kind of get into the recap of the show, of the game. But you know, the thing that I have learned about that is there are a lot of people out there that are content to let you just kind of, you know, be the victims of a fraud in some respect. That they're going to perpetuate a fraud as long as it gets some clicks, as long as it gets some engagement, and there's never really any accountability. Right, and there's so many people out there in life, and I'm going to quit preaching here in a second, but there's a lot of people out there. They reach a comfortable standard of living. And I've worked with some of those people in my career, various places. They reach a comfortable standard of living, and they stop pushing. You know what drives me? It's not just ambition. You know, it's not just you know, the realization of a dream. One of the things that drives me is that one day I know that all this is going to be over. One day it's going to be over. You know, I've worked with Gene's page now for 23 years. I've been covering Mississippi State since 1997. And so, you know, Steve, you're established. I mean, you're kind of a name that we know. You're a name we trust. It's true. But guys, it could all end tomorrow. You know, when Gene's page, initially we were an independent. Then we joined the Insiders. And then that ultimately became scout.com, and then we were bought by Fox, and then Fox basically left us alone, abandoned us, didn't put any money into us as an industry, and then we were part of the North American Media Group, and then it was all this stuff that happened, and so there's been a lot of parent companies over the years, and we go into the merger with 247 Sports, and we were courted by everybody in the industry, and felt that 247 Sports was easily the best deal for us, even though there was some growing pains associated with that. I mean, working with competitors is never easy, right? But we made it work. But the reality of it is, you know, CBS has been amazing to us. And since CBS has been involved with us, and you know, they've integrated some of our content into their content, when they break news on CBS HQ, and it comes from us, they credit us, and rather than just kind of stealing our information and passing it off as their own, they'll say, hey, you know, Steve Robertson at jeanspage.com reporting this guy's going to play today. You know, that is a big thing for us, right? To have on a CBS broadcast, that little old Steve Robertson from Starkville, Mississippi is breaking some news that is important. That's big. And so what happens, you know, 6 months from now, if CBS decides, hey, we're going to go in a different direction with our online sports communities, and we're not going to renew these deals. And of course, you know, we still got, you know, gosh, what, 2-3 years left on the deal. But it could all end tomorrow. And I'm having a blast. So I'm going to do all I can today to prolong this as long as I can. Now, my hope is that, you know, hey, we'll have a great deal and have a great relationship with CBS Interactive until the day I retire. And trust me, people have asked me many times, how long do you think you can do this? Well, I think I could probably do it until the day that I die or the day they put me in ICU. But, you know, there have been times I thought about an exit strategy. You know, it's like, hey, I think maybe I want to do this for like 10 more years. Like 2 years ago, I said, I think I got 10 more years left in me. And then, you know, we had some changes and I brought some new blood into the organization. I started thinking, you know what, hey, you know, maybe 8 years is not long enough. But you never know. I mean, I want to be able to be around and go enjoy my grandchildren when they begin to play high school sports and things like that. And, you know, so, you know, we'll see how things go. But, no, there's no end, there's no exit strategy or no end date in sight. But, you know, I think the thing that we have to understand is that no matter how well laid our plans are, life and God are the ultimate authors of those plans, right? So I can be out here saying, hey, this is what I'm going to do, and, you know, I'm going to retire in, you know, 2032, and then I'm going to go see the world and go to Scotland and go to my motherland and all that kind of stuff, and then that never happens, you know. That's why it's important. I try to enjoy every single day, and it is such a privilege and honor to me to be able to cover Mississippi State. Of course, we, you know, Dave Murray and I were talking the other day. We have not, as an entity, you know, counting Dave Murray being with us all these years, we have not missed a Mississippi State football game, covering a state game since 1997. Nobody can say that. Nobody. Nobody. Nobody else can say that. Nobody. And so, yeah, we take that very seriously. And it's amazing to me. Recently, I had somebody send me some comments with some other people I thought was really funny. It's like, why do they make such a big deal about going to games? You know, that's our job. Our job is to cover Mississippi State sports. So if Mississippi State is playing a football game, we need to be there. That's typically how it works. But, yeah, Steve, well, you know, if that's the case, if we can cover from the Lazy Boy, why would we even go to a home game? You know, do we love Muscadine Ripple ice cream that much? Got to go up there and get a little free sample of the Muscadine Ripple or some almond fudge or whatever, you know? I mean, if you can cover the game as well from home as you can in Tempe, Arizona, then just stay home all the time. That's the way I see it. Why ever go? Why? I mean, what's the point going? And so we may see things differently, but that's how we're going to do things at jeanspage.com. As long as I'm involved, we're going to get on the road and we're going to go. Simple as that. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. You do too. I love going in there and eating a meal with them. I hadn't done it in a couple weeks, and I can tell, like, my equilibrium is off a little bit. You know, I got to get in there and enjoy those spring rolls, because I looked in the mirror on Saturday and I was like, Steve, you need some spring rolls. You do. You got to be honest with yourself, because they'll make you and everybody around you better looking. I love going in there and kind of seeing what's new. I love having the opportunity to try the new specials. But I love the old classics, man. I love the Bulldog. I love the Smokehouse, the Freshman 15, the Pimentology at Bacon. You need to find your own favorites at Bulldog Burger Company. They have three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Be sure and get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile. There's so many great options for you on that menu. And sometimes for lunch, I get the Sloppy Joe sliders. It's like those old Sunday nights, man. You know, you get home from Sunday evening church, and mom's got to just do something quick and filling. And, you know, sometimes it wasn't a big meal. But, man, when mom make those Sloppy Joes, I just thought, you know what? This is a treat, man. This is a treat. And so when I have those Sloppy Joe sliders, man, that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of my mom making those Sloppy Joes, or manwiches, whatever we called them back then. You know, making those for us. And I didn't realize, you know, how convenient it was for her. but it was such a treat to us. And so take a trip down memory lane yourself and go have those Sloppy Joe Sliders. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, we're going to spend a little time talking about the game. And, you know, so Arizona State wins the toss, and they defer, and I'm thinking, hey, this kind of plays right into what we want to do. Because I suspect if we had won the toss, we would have elected to receive, try to go out there and throw the first punch. Didn't work out for us, and actually, them deferring allowed them to really get some bigger separation within the game, but more on that later. But we open up, and Keyvon Lee, a nice gain on first down. We get 7 yards out of the gate. We elect to take a shot on second and short. Now, all of you old NCAA college football fans, you remember back in the day, whenever you got in a second one, second two situation, you had conference in that offensive line, we're going to take a shot down the field on second down. Jeff Lebby kind of cut from the same cloth. We take a shot down here, and they list this as a pass breakup. And in live action, I just thought we dropped it. That's what I thought. I haven't gone back and watched the replay of the game yet. But, again, I like the aggressive play calling here. I don't necessarily like the tight end matchup there, but, you know, Sadu is a different kind of guy. But down the field, he's got to be able to make some receptions for us. You know, we've put him in some situations, and he'll get there. But he needs to be a more sure-handed receiver. This didn't work out. And, again, maybe Simmons did break this thing up. But I do like the play call. Brings up a third and three situation, and you got to think right here, we ought to be able to get this. We don't. We get 1 yard. And end up punting. And we knew that punting was going to be big, right? We knew the kickoffs would likely all be touchbacks and that the punts are going to be difficult to return. That was the case. But a three and out for the Bulldogs, and it really felt like, even then, I'm like, well, you know, maybe we'll be okay. But then Arizona State comes out, and we talked about it on Gene's page, talked about it in all the articles last week, talked about it on this show. We knew Arizona State was going to come out and try to run the football. They were going to try to shorten the game, limit our possessions, limit the pace of play, and try to win this game by running the football. And that's exactly what they did. And it all started right here on this very first drive. They ran kind of a variation. And again, I'm sure there'll be a high school football coach out there that'll correct me. And that's perfectly fine. I'm not in any way trying to suggest that I know the X's and O's as well as a coach does. And they're coached football. But they ran kind of a variation of the halfback ISO a lot. Line up in the shotgun there. They'd have the tight end sometimes come crash down. There were some things they did there. And with us running a three-man front, and that was the fatal flaw in everything for us, is we open up in a three-man front, and they just kind of ran the ball in the interior. Just because of the fact, hey, it's right there. Our linebackers weren't getting downhill, and frankly, with a three down alignment, it's tough to keep the guards off the linebackers. I thought that was a mistake, and I think you guys all agree with me. We changed in the second half, but we opened up in a three-man front, and I'll be honest with you. And again, this is Monday morning quarterbacking, okay? So I'm not just being negative for the sake of being negative. I mentioned this on Bo Bounds show earlier. When you've got a quarterback like Levitt that doesn't have a ton of experience, and you know that based on what you've seen on film, he's not a big threat down the field. You don't have to be Buddy Ryan to say, you know what? Hey, let's go stack the box. Let's make the kid beat us. We didn't do that. We didn't do that. All right, second and one. They go back to Scadabo again, running on the interior there for the first down. First and 10, little controlled passing game. He gets it out to Guillory here, and even this was a bit of an adventure. A great catch by Guillory to kind of go down and get it. The ball was off target, but it's 13 yards and a first down. Swing it out, again, kind of controlled passing game. Just kind of a swing pass out here to Scatpo, and he gets 8 yards. Again, very manageable second two. They give it to Kyson Brown. He runs off right side for two. First down, they take a shot down the field to Jordan Tyson. And that's incomplete, and he was open. There were a couple times that Arizona State pass receivers were able to get open, and Levitt just overthrew them. And so there were plays there to be made, and the kid didn't make them. And again, you think maybe he's amped up a little bit here, maybe. But again, I'm going to make the kid beat me. Well, they go back out the middle with Skatebo for 12. Another first down, first and 10 now, incomplete. Little swing pass out to Skatebo, and we couldn't complete that. And again, that's kind of a hint and a half for you. The kid's kind of amped up. The kid's feeling the pressure. Sam Levitt gets flushed here on 2nd and 10 and runs for 15 yards. Isaac Smith, one of his 17 tackles. 1st and 10, busted play here, and this goes on. This is on Kelly Jones, and I'm just kind of calling her for what it is. Kelly gets caught up in the play action on the zone read there, and we chase the ball carrier instead of maintaining edge integrity here, and it leaves the left side wide open, and he runs for a touchdown. If we take a good angle there, it's a loss of 4 or 5 yards. And makes him, gets him behind the chains. Maybe you give up a field goal here. Who knows what happens on the subsequent plays. But you get him off schedule here with the big hit in the backfield, not to mention the emotional aspect of it for a quarterback that is playing one of the biggest games of his life so far. And so we kind of gifted them that. Hey, great run by the kid, but if we play sound defensive football right there, it's a TFL. Extra points good. All right, State gets the ball back here. I'm thinking, okay, maybe we'll get going here. Maybe we'll get going. Guys, it's another 3 and out. We're complete to Kevin Coleman, who gets a 6. Booth runs for a loss of 2. So now it's 3rd and 6, and then they bring the house here. And we even get called for holding here. But there were two guys that had a dead run here. And I don't know if Blake just missed something in the pre-snap read. But all of a sudden, they have the lead, and then the emotional lift of the big sack there on 3rd down. And so 3 plays of this drive, and 2 of them go for negative yardage. Nick Barmira with the punt, 51 yards, fair catch there. They set up shop again here and put together another substantial drive. Run right for 14 yards, and they go back in the middle again for 8. Now it's 2nd and 2. Run off right side for 3, 1st and 10. DeCarlos Brooks gets stood up here, and Kendrick Bingley-Jones with a TFL there for a 1 yard loss makes it 2nd and 11. You feel like, okay, we got a chance here. And then lo and behold, you put the game in Levitt's hands, and what do? It's an incomplete pass, and it wasn't even close. 3rd and 11. We send pressure. We don't have rush line integrity here, and the kid gets outside. He's a good athlete, and he runs for 10 yards. Pollock with a tackle there makes it 4th and 1. They decide to go, and why not? You're kind of in no man's land anyway, and you've had success running on the interior. They give it to they set it up here and kind of run basically kind of like an option-type keeper. He runs off right side, and Levitt, moves chains. It's 1st and 10, and it was just a matter of what they were going to score, not if they were going to score here. Swing pass out the skate bow again, and 21 yards down to the State 12, and it really felt like we were in trouble right here. Incomplete to Guillory again. You got a guy open. You can't get it to him. 2nd and 10. DeCarlos Brooks at the middle for 2. Brings up 3rd and 8. You're thinking maybe we'll hold for a field goal. And then they aid in that endeavor by committing a false start penalty there. Makes it 3rd and 13. They say, hey, our best play here is just handing the ball off to Scatbo. So let's just give it to him. And he gets 10 yards. Makes it a manageable 4th and 3. They take a delay of the game there. They go to the line like they're going to go for it. And ultimately just kind of kick the field goal here. But 27 yards is good. And it feels like it's a win for us to hold to a field goal there. And you get the ball back again. 3rd time in a quarter. You think, hey, let's go put some points on the board. So we take a little of a swing pass out to Craver. It's incomplete. PBU there. They did a good job getting their hands up too. And Ushapin's not the tallest guy. There were a couple times they got their hands up in throwing lanes. And even when they didn't deflect pass attempts, they kind of altered them. All right, we get a hold of Jordan Mosley here. Big, big play here across the middle, 27 yards across midfield. And you feel like, okay, now we're awake. We get it out to Seydou for 12. And again, now it's like, okay, we're getting chunk plays. Get it out to Kevin Coleman for 7, makes it a 2nd and 3. We give it to Kevon, runs up the middle for 2, brings up a 3rd and 1. And we get that too. So a couple back-to-back, again, menial short gains, but it gives us a new set of downs. On 1st and 10, we're incomplete to Seydou, and again, hands in the air. That closes out the quarter. Bulldogs trail 10-0, but State is on the move here. All right, 2nd and 10, shaping complete to Mosley. At the Arizona State 10, makes it a 16-yard gain for a 1st down. They actually credit it to 1st and 9.5 or so, so it's a 1st and goal situation. We give it to Kevon Lee, who gets 3, And guys, when we get inside the 10-yard line, we have to run the football. We're going to have to run the football. That's one of the basic tenets of the game. When you get in close, you got to be able to run the football. All right, second and six. We go back to Kevon Lee, who gets two. Now it's third and four. And Blake gets a little bit of pressure, and then he rolls out right, and he throws it to Kevon Lee. And I don't know if he's thinking too much about getting his feet down, but he dropped the football. They don't track the drop on the box score, but it's a drop. And that's the thing you start thinking. If you get a touchdown there, you know, maybe things are a little bit different the rest of this half. But you don't. You end up getting a field goal. Kyle Ferry, good from 32 yards. Makes it a one-score game. It's 10-3. You're thinking, if we can just get a stop here, maybe we can pull even before the half. But instead, we're going to go right back and run the football. And why would you not? When you're running as successfully as they were, why would you ever throw it? Ever. There's only three things that can happen when you throw the football, and two of them are bad. Right? It can be caught by your team, which is a positive. It can be caught by their team. It's a negative, or it's incomplete. Also a negative. But 12 yards off the right side against Gavin, do I need to say, you know, Kyson Brown that runs off the right side for three. And then it's a short pass to Stovall for nine. Moves chains, makes it first and 10. Levitt that runs off right side for nine. They go back up the middle, just running on the interior where we're supposed to pass some depth. 9 yards for Scabbo, first and 10. Now incomplete to Malik McLean out there. Second and 10, complete to Douglas for just 3 yards. So State makes a play here and thinking, hey, maybe we can get off the field here. Third and 7, incomplete. Again, the guy was open. He just overthrows him. Fourth and 7, field goal good from 47 yards. It's 13-3. So again, we're down by two. So we get the field goal to get off the schneid there, but we're still trailing two scores as we get the ball back here. And this drive here, in many respects, you never say, well, this determined the game. But in many respects, this drive here and the subsequent result changed the complexity of this game. One of the biggest sequences at all. All right, first and 10, Blake Shapen incomplete to Kelvin Coleman. They credit a pass breakup here. Now, second and 10, Booth runs up the middle for one. We got to get better in the running back room. Third and 9, take a nice shot here down the field to Mario Craver. Good for 61 yards. They call it back for OPI. It was a very ticky-tack call. It was also an unnecessary action by Craver, right? He already has the step, and that's just a freshman, right? I mean, yeah, listen, it wasn't as bad as it looked, but you don't even have to extend the arm there. You're running by the guy. Robinson cannot run with you. And so that negates a 61-yard penalty. A 61-yard play that would have put State in a tremendous position to score here, deep within Arizona State territory. They end up calling timeout to settle the defense after the OPI, and Blake gets outside there and gets hit, tries to throw it away, and it's a fumble. And there were some people that wanted it reviewed. It was a fumble, but I get it. You never know, right? With the knees down, did the ball go forward? Anyway, it's a scoop and score. Extra point is good. Now it's 20-3. Right? You go. Think about this for a second. What if State just kicks a field goal here? All right. Well, then it's a 13-6 game. We're just, you know, halfway through the second quarter. 13-6. But instead of it being a one score game, now it's quickly a three score game at 20-3. That's how significant that series was for Mississippi State. A chance to pull within a score, and now you're down three. You're chasing the game the rest of the way. All right, first and 10 from our 25 after the touchback, and every kick was a touchback. So we go to Coleman trying to get him involved, get 10 yards from him there, and then we're incomplete to Kevon Lee, makes it second and 10. You know, take a shot here and try to get it to Akari, and it's incomplete, but there is P.I. on the play, and they do flag him for it. Makes it first and 10 now at midfield. Johnny Daniels off the left side for one. Second nine now. Shapen complete to Mosley for 9 yards, moves the chain, and Mosley quickly becoming a very dependable receiver for Mississippi State. At 1st and 10, we give it to Daniels again. He runs for a loss of 1. 2nd and 11, it's complete to Sadu for 9 yards, brings up a very manageable 3rd and 2, and here we are again, right? Short yardage. We're the SEC team. We're the big bullies on the block. And we run for 1 yard. That's it. We run for 1. We decide to go for it on 4th and 1. And we get complete to Kevon Lee. And he runs the route. I don't know what the play was, but we run the route short of the line to gain. I don't know what the dynamic was here. But we lose a yard. And on top of it, we get flagged for illegal formation. So even if we had achieved the first down, it's coming back. Those are the kind of things. That's just bad football. That cannot happen. Absolutely cannot happen. We're at their 31, and I don't know if Ferry could have hit it from there. Possibly. That kick into that side of the field, we're kicking into the wind, if memory serves me correct. But again, all the momentum right now is on their sideline. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And then they capture some more. And again, you're up 3 scores, so you know, go do what you got to do. They give it to Scabo up the middle. Stone Bland steps up here, makes a nice tackle, just kind of stands him up. No gain on the play. 2nd and 10, it's an incomplete pass. 3rd and 10, chance for us to get off the field. 3rd and 10. They run it right back up the middle with Scabo, and he gets 13 yards. It's like a broken record, man. 1st and 10, back to him again for 10. On 1st and 10 from our 45, they run right back up the middle with DeCarlos Brooks for 5. Then they decide to go off the right side with Brooks for 4 more. 3rd and 1. We go back to who else? Scabo gets 2 yards, move of chains. 2-minute timeout comes up. Scabo goes off the right side for 16. So it's not like we can say we were in a bad alignment or we were in a bad personnel group. They go back to him again, right at the middle for 16 more. It's painful, man. It is painful. Even now to go back and think about this. Levitt runs for 1. We call timeout here. And then Levitt up the middle for the touchdown. Extra point's good. They kick the extra point, or they kick it off here, and we get flagged for unnecessary roughness on top of that. I was about ready to go out there and hit somebody too. And, yeah, there you go, though. You know, part of the deal. And then we just kind of get out of there. You know, we're just trying to get out of there. The very first play of that subsequent drive, we fumble the snap, have to recover it, and then we take a knee and just get out of there. And so, now it's 27-3. So in order to us to pull even here, got to get 3 touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions. And then we have to kick it back to them. And we do. And what would you do if you were the offensive coordinator for Arizona State? Well, I think I'm just going to keep running the football. Well, you're a genius. Scabo for 9 off the left. Back to him up the middle for 7. Then it's a short pass complete to Jordan Tyson. And they're already up there around midfield. They give it to Sam Levitt, then runs for right, run off the right side for 2. 3rd and 1, what are you going to do? Let's run up the middle with Scabo. They do, 6 yards, 1st down. Brooks then off the right side for 5. Brooks off the right side for 3 more, brings up 3rd and 2. What do you think we're going to do here? Hey, let's give it to Scabo. Well, this time we do stop him after this 1 yard gain. So brings up 4th and 1. Hey, you know what? Let's give it to that kid again. They do. Moves the chains. 1st and 10. DeCarlos runs off the right side for 3. 2nd and 7. Pass is complete. We make a nice play here. Trevion Williams gets out there. Just a 1 yard gain. And then they call the illegal block in the back on top of it. So that makes it 2nd and 16. So, you know, they're behind the chains here, right? Got them off schedule. 3rd and 10. After the Levitt gain of 6, they give it back to Scabo, gets 5, makes it 4th and 5, and makes it a more reasonable field goal attempt, and the field goal is good. That's 30-3 now. Basically, 4 touchdowns behind. Now, the good thing is, other than that final drive, we're done talking about offensive highlights for Arizona State. The problem is we had dug ourselves too big a hole. All right, 1st and 10 from our 25, we swing it to Kevon, who gets a dozen. We run Kevon at the middle for 3, makes it 2nd and 7, go back to Kevon for 6, makes it 3rd and 1. We get it to Jordan Mosley on a little bit of a hitch route there for six. Moves the chains. First and 10 now. Incomplete. Take another shot, which they do. And they had a player go down on the play. And I really thought our conditioning proved to be better than theirs. We just didn't get out of the gate. We were stronger in the fourth quarter than they were. Second and 10. Complete to Akari for 18 yards. His first Bulldog reception. First and 10. Shapen complete to Boot for 8 yards. Makes it second and 2. Kevin Coleman, we give it to him on a little bit of a jet sweep type action there. Probably technically a pass. 9 yards and the first down. First and 10, we give it to Booth. He runs inside for 5. Second 5, go back to him for 1. And on 3rd and 4, again, 3rd and manageable, we run off left side for 1 yard. So, again, you know, there's blame for everybody, right? There's play calling. There's some things we're doing on the blocking side, some things on the backside. You don't have to be Herschel Walker to be able to run through a hole, but there's got to be a hole that exists. And at times there were holes that were not hit, and there were times that running backs appeared not to just see them and run the backside of an offensive lineman. There are other times that holes weren't there or guys fit gaps. So 4th and 3 here, we decided to go for it, and we catch him in a blitz, and Kevon runs 6 yards for the touchdown. Extra point is good. Now it's 30-10. You think, okay, well, at least it's somewhat respectable. And think, maybe we can get a stop and get back into this thing. Well, we did. All right, 1st and 10 from their 25. Scapo runs in the middle for 3. It's complete to Tyson for no gain. Brian Lanier, big, big play here. 3rd and 7, we get a sack here. Brandon Jennings credited with the sack. 4th and 11, they take another delay of the game penalty. And it is a punt, and Coleman has to fair catch it. And then they flag Guillory for fair catch interference. It was a stupid, stupid penalty. Give State the ball all the way out to midfield. And so we end the third here in ball possession. And then on the first down, we go to Seydou, and he gets 12 yards. So we're already down to the Arizona State 38. Bulldogs just simply running out of time and opportunity here. The drive resumes on the backside of the quarter. So we open the 4th. Shapen gets flushed here, has to run for 1 yard gain. 2nd and 9, Shapen again goes for 7. And on 3rd and 2, we give it to Kevon, who gets 4. So here on 3rd and short, we convert. 1st and 10, incomplete to Craver. Now 2nd and 10, Johnny Daniels runs off the left side for 1. 3rd and 9, we take a shot and go to Justin Ball here, and it's incomplete. Pressure in Blake's face. 4th and 9, we decide to go for it, as we have to, right? The field goal doesn't help you there. It really doesn't. You'd still be down 11. You got to get the touchdown here. All right, so after the we go for it, and we attempt to get it to Craver. However, there is holding called against Arizona State in the secondary. Makes it 1st and 10 if they're 15, and then we get it to Boot for the score. Extra points, good. 30-16. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself here with my scores. So we're still down to 14. But now you start thinking, hey, if we get a stop and get a score, it's a one-score game going to the fourth, and we have all the juice. Maybe we can come back and steal this thing. 1st and 10 from their 25. They give it to Scapo. Smith and Blanton tag team here for no gain on the tackle. 11 incomplete then. And DeMonte Russell providing some pressure here. So you feel like the Bulldog defense kind of maybe bowing up a little bit. Of course, the edge is off a little bit. But it's not 30-3 anymore. It's 30-16. So they're having to play with a little more purpose themselves. And in 3rd and 10, they get it out of Scadbo. We make a good tackle there. And they're flagged for holding on top of it. We decline that. Hunter Washington in the game. He had left the game early. The only Bulldog that I remember having to be attended to on the field. There were several players on the Arizona State side late in this ball game, but it looks like State got this thing healthy. The punt is 35 yards. State comes after it, nearly gets it. And so, of course, you're not setting up a return, but Fair caught it at State 34. And again, State kind of going back to work here. This is a big drive for us, and you start thinking, if you can score here, some big things could happen. But we shoot ourselves in the foot. We complete the Craver for 14 yards, and we're starting to feel it. You can see in our body language a little bit like, hey, they can't stop us. We get flagged for holding here. Now it's 1st and 20. We go back to Craver, who gets us 10, makes it 2nd and 10. And we go back to Craver again, who gets 12. So we've negated that. And then we get sacked for a loss of 2. And then on 2nd and 12, sacked for a loss of 5. It's 3rd and 17 now. try to get it out to Kelly Akari, and it's broken up by Elijah O'Neal. But again, you know, again, we had some offensive line issues on this drive. You had the holding call that you're able to overcome, and then back-to-back sacks. And listen, we talk about that being on the offensive line too. You know, some of that too, you get to give them credit. You know, maybe Shapen missed something in the pre-snap read because they put a new wrinkle in. It's not always about that, right? I mean, there's always some things to it. But this was a significant drive for us, and ultimately we have to punt here. The good thing is it didn't take a lot of time off the clock. Still got time to work with. But you absolutely had to get a stop here just to give yourself a chance. And we do. They're just trying to run the clock out. I'm sure they were thinking, okay, two touchdowns left, 9:42 to go. We ought to be able to eat this thing up. Scabo up the middle for three, off the left side for six, makes it third and one. They give it to him again, and it goes 14 yards. He did run some wildcat at times too. All right, first and 10, DeCarlos Brooks up the middle for three. Second seven, incomplete, makes it third and seven. They get it complete to Guillory, but it's just 1 yard on a play, and then they rush up to your left. They're going to go again, but instead take the delay. Gay penalty makes it fourth and 11, and they do punt. You know as well as I do, with State having the momentum right there, there's no way on fourth and six they're going to go for it. No way. Because they're going to give us the ball on their side of the field? Nah. All right, they get the punt away. Again, State comes after it. Not quite there. All right, first and 10, Blake Shapen, little hitch right out there to Kevin Coleman. He makes one guy miss, and then the only guy that could have caught him was Mario Craver. 80 yards, and all of a sudden we have a ball game. 30-23. And again, remember, we missed the extra point earlier. I missed that in my narrative, but we missed the extra point earlier. We'd be down six here. But again, you go back and again, you think about that scenario, right, where we had the scoop and score after the long pass was negated. Where would we be right now? Even if we just punt right there, right, it might be a different dynamic. Not that we stopped them in the first half. But that sequence looms large. 5:27 to go, and we never get the ball back. And that's what happens when you dig a 27-point hole. You know, you end up out, it's 20 unanswered the rest of the way. Think about that. We dominate the last quarter and a half and score three touchdowns and still lose. Yeah, that's how big a hole we dug. And so at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter what happens to them on this drive. And let's be fair about this too, right? Even if we had found a way to pull even here and they had the ball here late, and you never know how play calling is going to go, but they had the opportunity to score again here late. You know, we look at it and say, hey, you know, Steve, we only lost by seven. Guys, they could have easily scored this last drive. And that's not me being negative. Once they got a couple first downs here, they're just eating up clock. And once you get to the two-minute timeout, we only had one timeout left. So all they had to do was kneel on it. But that 39-yard run, it was kind of apropos for the night. Big night, but again, I don't understand why we come out in a three-man front, why it took us through the second half to really kind of get away from that. But look at the numbers here. Arizona State, 26 first downs to State's 18. State with four rushing first downs. Arizona State with 23. We had 12 through the year. They had just three. And again, why would you ever throw it? But also, too, you've got a quarterback. You want to kind of manage the reads a little bit there. We should have done a better job putting the game in his lap. We had two first downs by way of penalty. We ran 27 times and got 24 yards. You back out the sacks and all that kind of stuff. But less than a yard per carry. And it's a team stat. It's not just the running backs. It's not just a line. It's not just a play calling. It's all of the above. Arizona State runs for 346 yards. Yes, that's the most since 2016. And I think they actually surpassed that. It's one of the biggest running games of the modern era for Bulldog defense. Not great. All right, passing, we threw for 268. They threw for 69. 10 of 20 and 69 yards for them. Again, a calculated mistake, in my opinion. Of course, it's easy for me to say that. Yeah, I'm sitting here behind a microphone, right? But, and like the depth of target, again, 6.9. You know, if six was nine. You know my point. You know, State's average attempt was 9.6. Arizona State's was 3.5. A lot of swing passes, a lot of screen passes. Total offense, State 292 yards. Arizona State 415. We punted three times for 138 yards for an average of 46. We expected that. They were under 40, but two of those were just kind of survival-type punts. We came after it. He's just trying to get it away. Nick Barmera with one over 50-plus. Our kickoffs, we kicked off five times. All of them, four of them were touchbacks. I think that's actually incorrect. I think all of them were touchbacks because there were no return yards for anybody. And then seven for them, all touchbacks. You know, so pretty crazy in that respect. We really thought special teams wasn't going to be a big factor, especially in a return game. Time of possession, we talk about it's overrated. We had the ball 19 minutes and 47 seconds. They had it 40. In a game like this, time of possession mattered because we needed more possessions. We needed more opportunities, and the defense needed to get them for us. And we weren't able to do it. 3 of 11 on third down. That's just terrible, especially early on. In the red zone, we're 3 for 3. We had one sack for four. They had three sacks for 17. Of course, two of those on back-to-back plays. Individual numbers here before we get ready to move on. Blake Shapen, 18 of 28. Again, two touchdowns, sacked three times. Keevon Coleman, nine rushes for 35 yards, averaging 3.9 yards a carry. Kevin Coleman goes 1 for 9. Davin Booth, six attempts for 7 yards. Johnny Daniels, three attempts for 1 yard. Blake Shapen, of course, minus 22. Kevin Coleman, four receptions for 103 yards. Of course, a big play, the 80-yard touchdown pass. Jordan Mosley, 4 for 58. Sadu, 3 for 33. Davin Booth, 2 for 23, include the touchdown. Mario Craver, 2 for 22. Kelly Akari, 1 for 18. He'll be more of a factor as we kind of get going here. Keevon, 2 of 11. And the rushing touchdown for him, too. Defensive numbers here. Isaac Smith, 17 tackles in the game. And that's amazing, right? But you don't need your safety. It's 2 weeks in a row your safety has been your leading tackler, and it's not like we're just walking him down in the box and he's making a bunch of plays near the line of scrimmage. A lot of these plays are second level. Stone Blanton with 8 tackles, Bryce Pollock with 6, Hunter Washington with 6, Trevion Williams with 6, Nick Mitchell with 5, Brandon Jennings with 5, including a sack, Kelly Jones 4, Brown Lanier 4. Yeah, that's the thing, too. I don't know I don't know anything about our secondary, to be honest with you. Because nobody has tested us yet. Nobody. So we'll see what we got this weekend. We're going to talk about Toledo a little bit later in the show. But that's your ballgame. Bulldogs now 1-1. Arizona State improves 2-0. All right, time for today's top 10 list. As always, brought to you by Close with Blair. C-L-O-S-E with Blair. B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend. In the mortgage industry. His phone number, 601-500-2344. And you know, you need a mortgage guy. You do. Or a mortgage lady. You do. But I'm going to propose that Blair Chandler can take care of your needs. Simple as that. You never know what you need in life, but you need somebody that kind of has the intuitive know-how to get things done. 23 years of experience. You can trust your mortgage needs to anybody. May be a mistake. Go with a proven winner. That's Blair Chandler. Blair works for Priority One Mortgage. He is a season ticket holder in multiple sports here at Mississippi State. Has a place here, I believe, in keeping business in the family. So whether you're looking to refinance, perhaps looking for your first home or that game day condo, which may prove to be more affordable than you think, you know what you need to do? You need to entrust your mortgage needs to Blair Chandler. He's closed several Boneyard loans over the years. Very happy to have him as a sponsor and appreciate all he does for those that need mortgage help. Close with Blair.com. Okay, some news out of the rock world here recently that has caused a bit of a stir. Linkin Park is back. Brand new singer. Here's the thing I'll say before we get started. There will never be a Chester Bennington again, ever. And so Mike Shinoda and the guys in Linkin Park were faced with an interesting dilemma. Do they allow the Linkin Park machine to just kind of sit idly by, those songs never really being played again? by many of the musicians who crafted them. Do they go out and find somebody that sounds a lot like Chester Bennington? And we do Linkin Park karaoke. Could have gone that route. A lot of people wishes they would have just retired. I don't agree with that. But they announced Emily Armstrong, the singer of Dead Sara, as a new member in Linkin Park. And it has created a bit of a rift. Now, one of the things that I try to do, rather than have an emotional reaction to things, is do a little research. And so I did. I didn't know much about Emily Armstrong before the announcement last week. I think it's fair to give her a chance. It's a new direction in the band. When I first heard the new track, I was like, hey, it's different, but I like it. But Chester's gone. It's as simple as that. Chester is gone. And no matter what Linkin Park and Shinoda did, there were going to be the hardline fans, the blue bloods of the Linkin Park fan base that were not going to accept Emily Armstrong. And so I thought, well, you know what? Before I get out here, everybody's asking what I think. Let me do some research. So here's top 10 songs that feature Emily Armstrong. Most of this, of course, from the Dead Sara catalog. We'll go quickly here because we got a lot to recap here in the second half of the show. But number 10 for me is Whispers and Ashes. That's the lead track off the debut album. It's really good. Number 9, a single that was released back in 2023 as a standalone, a track called Violent. Number 8, pretty crafty title here. All I Know Is That You Left Me For Dead. I think you might dig that one. Number 7, Suicidal. That's a little more of an aggressive track. Number 6, Heroes. I really dig this one a lot. I think it's, if I could say it, I'm trying to think the best way to say this. Like some of the catalog sounds a little bit Alanis Morissette-y, kind of like All I Know Is You Left Me For Dead. Heroes is a little different. Heroes kind of reminds me a little bit of Taylor Momsen, right, in the Pretty Reckless, a little bit. Number 5 is a track called Mona Lisa. I dig this one a lot too. Good vocal on this one. Number 4, a little bit more of a pop song. It's got a different feel to it than much of the other stuff because she's not this, you know, aggressive screamer. You know, she's not a death metal act. But Something Good is a good track, number 4. Now, she teamed up with Demi Lovato on our number 3 track, a track called Help Me. It's a Demi Lovato track featuring Emily Armstrong from Dead Sara. And Demi Lovato has been played a lot in this house back when my girls were living at home. But they've been to see her. They all love her. Number 2, probably the best track from the Dead Sara catalog, in my estimation, is a track called Weatherman. I think you'll dig that one, too. But number 1, we're going to go with The Emptiness Machine. That's the debut single from the brand-new Linkin Park album. They've been at work at this for a while. They created a bit of a stir. You know, when they started to count down, and everybody's like, hey, what's going to happen? Are they releasing some more old Chester material? I understand there may be one or two songs kind of tucked away that are unfinished in these days. You know, with the technology we have, perhaps they can do it. But the bottom line is this, is Linkin Park is moving in a new direction. But I think the most important part of this is that Linkin Park is moving again. And a lot of people I've seen, you know, even some family members of Chester that have gone out and said some things. Everybody entitled their own opinion. But I think the thing that comforts me is to know that the Chester Bennington catalog, the Linkin Park songs that so many of you grew up with, that most of us have rocked along to for years and years, are going to be performed again live. And you're going to have the opportunity to go out there and honor Chester and honor your youth and honor the Linkin Park legacy by being able to sing those songs along with Emily Armstrong and the rest of the band. I don't understand a lot of this angst. It's like, hey, you're damaging the legacy. I completely disagree. I think Linkin Park and Chester Bennington's legacy is affirmed forever. But we have a new direction, and let's give it a chance. That's how I feel. You may feel differently, and that's okay. But I do know this. I think it would have been more disrespectful to go out and find somebody that basically just kind of sounds like a Chester Bennington clone. I think that's probably the wrong way to go about it. And I think whoever you get is going to be unfairly criticized just because of the fact that Chester Bennington, even prior to his death, was so incredibly beloved by Linkin Park fans and rock fans in general. There are many times that I've gone back and looked at that live performance on the Jimmy Kimmel Show when Linkin Park performed One More Light the day that Chris Cornell passed away. And so that is always something very special to me. And of course, through the magic of iTunes and Spotify, we can dial up Chester Bennington whenever we want to. But again, I think there is a new generation of fans, a lot of young people today that never got to see Linkin Park during their glory years, that will get an opportunity to see a new version of the band that will keep Chester's legacy alive. And I think that is the important aspect of this. And Shinoda and those guys are young. You know, they're not, you know, ready for retirement. But I think it's good to see Linkin Park out and doing something. And no matter what you think or say or do, we don't know what the rest of the album is going to sound like, but I do think The Emptiness Machine is a great introductory track. And, you know, of course, Shinoda kind of starts the thing out, and then Emily takes over. But it's not Emily trying to be Chester. It's Emily trying to be Emily. And, again, I'm in favor of them trying something new. And I suspect that most of the shows will be the ones doing the majority of the singing. But that's your top 10 list for today. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. We'll be happy to do it. You can find our list on Spotify under the handle Dogmatic67. That's Dawgmatic67. Of course, I tweet those out and share them on Facebook as well. I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You do too. And if you don't, it's because you don't know them. They're great people doing a great job for a great fan base. Next time you're in town, go by and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. They're amazing. A lot of times you get a free hug with a purchase, or maybe that's just me. But if you can't make it to town, no hugs required. You can visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It's BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. So if you're looking for new Mississippi State merch, whether it be clothing, whether it be gift ideas, a graduation gift, a housewarming gift, a wedding gift, a bachelor party gift, whatever you're looking for, you can find it at Mississippi State's Campus Bookmart. We love the place. It's just off campus, not officially part of the university, but it has become synonymous for Mississippi State fans looking for Mississippi State merch, and you can find the best selection in the non-universe there at Campus Bookmart. All right, wild weekend of college football. We didn't expect it to be this crazy, but isn't that why we love it the way we do? You love the unexpected. Now, Arkansas got rave reviews early in this ballgame against Oklahoma State, and then they kind of fell apart. There's no doubt they're better offensively with Bobby Petrino kind of calling the cadence there, right? Everybody kind of knew, you know, now that Bobby had a chance to kind of work with these kids, kind of get them going, they'd be able to score. They did, but they kind of mishandled things late in that ballgame. They should have won the game, but instead it's Oklahoma State in overtime. What a wild game it proved to be. And Oklahoma State wins 39-31. We picked Oklahoma State to win. I did not think it would be the close game that it was. Give Arkansas some credit. Of course, a lot of people out there, Arkansas is a lot better. I don't know if we know that yet, but they are definitely better than they were last year. Texas, as expected, goes to Michigan and wins up there and really, really, I think, let Michigan off the hook. They only beat them 31-12, and Michigan had simply no answer for Texas. Texas did whatever they wanted to do in this ball game. It was a questionable holding call that negated a touchdown earlier. I think Texas may be the best team in the country not named Georgia. That's how I feel today. Those guys are really good. We got to go there in a few weeks too. But they go to the big house, and it's over. Okay, the Michigan thing is over, and they got a couple more losses coming. It's going to be very, very difficult for them to make the playoffs with three losses, and they've already dropped this one out of conference. And again, people expected Texas to win the game. I don't think many expected Texas to dominate the way they had. Texas A&M, 52-10 winners over McNeese State. Not really much to talk about there. A little bit of a struggle early on, but again, athleticism typically wins out. Georgia, 48-3 winners over Tennessee Tech. No surprise there. Big surprise, South Carolina goes into Lexington and absolutely obliterates Kentucky. And I love it. I'm going to be honest about it. I love it. I really, really, really do. Number one, I'm happy for Shane Beamer, our friend. Very happy for Shane. But also, too, Kentucky has been so propped up by the SEC media. It's a joke, man. It is. And then South Carolina goes into Lexington. And I really thought, hey, going into Lexington is tough. And South Carolina was not impressive against Old Dominion. And they went in there and said, you know what? Maybe Old Dominion's better than Kentucky. It's a 10-6 game at the half. And you know what? South Carolina dominates the rest of the way and wins 31-6. So, again, happy for Shane Beamer and those connected with South Carolina. Got to win a few more. But that's a big win this year and an important year for Shane Beamer. Cal goes into Auburn and beats the Tigers 21-14. We talked about after week one, there's only so much you can tell about an offense, you know, in these early games. And it looks like Auburn's kind of picking up where they left off last year offensively with Peyton Thorne at the helm. It's 7-7 after one, and then Cal with a 14-7 lead at the break. It goes down to the fourth quarter. Pretty crazy, right? No points in the third quarter. And then Cal goes down, 32-yard touchdown run from Javian Thomas. Extra point is good. Makes it 21-7. And Auburn scores with about 6 minutes left to kind of keep it a game, but ultimately couldn't get it done. A lot of discussion about it. Is Peyton Thorne the answer? He goes 14 of 27 for 165 yards, one TD, four interceptions, and four sacks. Brutal. Jarquez Hunter, the pride of Neshoba Central High School, 12 carries for 68 yards to lead the Tigers there in rushing. But, you know, the bloom is off the rose for Hugh Freeze at Auburn. You know, last year, everybody said, well, you know, it's the first day, let him get his guys in. They went out, went transfer portal, went crazy with all these wide receivers and stuff, but 14 points. Not great. Ole Miss, 52-3 winners over Middle. I thought Middle may cover. Turns out they didn't. We knew Ole Miss would win easily. They did. Missouri, 38-0 winners over Buffalo. No surprise there. Florida all over Samford, 45-7. We'll see them in 2 weeks. You know, really the story from Gainesville, though, is you know, Graham Mertz. You know, what's going to happen there? You know, Napier says today they're blessed to have two quarterbacks. They're going to use them both. But it's awfully interesting how things kind of work out in that respect. DJ Lagway, 18 of 25, 456 yards, three touchdowns. Very much a dual-threat quarterback. May provide a dimension that maybe Graham Mertz doesn't. But if you're Billy Napier, you got to find a way to win ball games. And maybe Lagway is the answer. South Florida gave Alabama a tussle, but then Alabama puts it away late, 42-16. You know, the story would have been had, you know, South Florida been able to hang there into the fourth quarter. But Alabama got wild there in that fourth quarter. Alcorn State loses 55-0 to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt off to a good start. Not a lot of wins left on the schedule, but good for them. Tennessee against NC State. We thought Tennessee would win. I didn't think it'd be a 51-10 game. They absolutely take the Wolfpack to the woodshed. And there were a lot of people last year that thought, hey, this NC State team is primed for a good run next year. You talk about getting exposed. And I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit from early start here. I told you guys Tennessee could be a sleepy pick for the playoff. Wins like that aid in that cause. Nichols hangs in there with LSU for a while, but LSU eventually out-athletes them. 44-21 is your final. And then Oklahoma struggles, but they defeat Houston. And again, the Houston offense didn't do anything, but goodness gracious, And I give Nathan Purvis, our friend, he picked Houston to cover against Oklahoma. I thought there's no way with that offense. Well, that Houston defense kind of stood up in the way there. And again, it's a dub for Oklahoma. But I don't think anybody walks away feeling confident about that team. Yeah, pretty crazy. They got a safety late in the fourth quarter. It kind of made the difference, you know, kind of gave them a little breathing room there. Think about that for a second. You know, Houston with the ball, down 14-12 with 2 minutes to go, and you got an opportunity here to maybe drive down in the field goal range and steal one in Norman, but instead they give up a safety with 1:42 to play, and they have to give the ball back, and that's your ball game. But, you know, again, pretty significant play for Houston, but you don't get the dub. So we picked a lot of winners, but the maybe the splits didn't go the way we wanted to with the spread. But you know, the big shocks to me were South Carolina not just going to Kentucky and winning, but crushing Kentucky. Absolutely crushing Kentucky. And I'm looking forward to the guys at Kentucky Sports Radio to cry all year long. Brock Vandegrift, the quarterback from Georgia that came in that everybody thought was going to be the answer, he goes 3 of 10 for 30 yards and a pick and was sacked 4 times. They change up and go with Gavin Wismut. He goes 3 of 7 for 14, also throws a pick and got sacked. South Carolina just absolutely exposed Kentucky in this ball game. So real quickly, let's take a quick peek ahead. You know, we'll talk about this more later in the week as we get a little bit closer. But you're kind of looking at what week three, just kind of a first blush here. You know, should be some good games this week. You know, there's going to be some games, too, that maybe aren't great, but probably like test, you know, like some teams that maybe haven't played, you know, a significant opponent yet. We'll play somebody with a little more girth to them. But all of a sudden, you've got a little intrigue. This LSU game, they go to South Carolina. Williams-Brice is never easy to play in. But with LSU kind of struggling in the first 2 weeks, and all of a sudden South Carolina kind of finding their feet at Lexington, the more confident team is going to be South Carolina. Not really know how we're going to pick this thing yet. But that game got a lot more interesting. Alabama's at Wisconsin. I'm not sure what to make of Alabama. I'm really not. Again, I think they're probably a 10-2 team, but I don't know what Camp Randall's going to hold for them. But that game might be a little more interesting. Boston College at Missouri, that game may be pretty interesting too. You know, Boston College played some really good defense against Florida State, so we'll see. Tulane's at Oklahoma. Tulane has been interesting too. They have been interesting. You know, John Sumrall, now the head coach there, replaced Willie Fritz. Could be interesting in Norman. Wouldn't that be something? Texas A&M is now a road favorite at Florida. That could prove to be interesting too. But maybe Lagway makes a difference there. UAB is at Arkansas. Not sure what to make of Arkansas either. You know what I'm saying? It's like they blow out Arkansas Pine Bluff. But I think if we're fair with ourselves, we'd say they should be 2-0 right now. That game last week could prove to be very significant in the discussion about Sam Pittman. Ole Miss is at Wake Forest. I don't know what you expect from Wake, but again, Ole Miss got to take the show on the road for the first time. Texas San Antonio is at Texas. Roadrunners are going to get wildly coyoted out there. Vanderbilt is at Georgia State. I don't know if you know much about this. Like the Georgia State, those guys in their backyard, the Panthers, Vanderbilt's offensively has been pretty good the first couple of weeks. It'll be interesting to see. That game may have some intrigue as well. Georgia's at Kentucky. So Kentucky, I mean, it only gets worse, right? You get embarrassed by South Carolina. Your quarterback gets exposed, and now you have the number one team in the country coming to Lexington. Of course, Toledo's at Mississippi State. New Mexico, the Fighting Lobos, will go to Auburn. Not New Mexico State that destroyed Auburn last year, destroyed their hopes. And then Kent State's at Tennessee. But, yeah, some interesting storylines this week, so it should make for a fun week for us talking football. But the bottom line is Bulldogs got to find a way to beat Toledo, and we're going to talk in depth about Toledo on Wednesday. In our final segment of the show, I want to talk a little bit about what Jeff Lebby had to say Saturday night and what he had to say today. This segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. If you're coming to Starkville and bringing a large group, or you're meeting a large group, or you plan to host a large group, look no further than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. whether it's a ball game weekend, maybe it's a week, a work week type deal or a work retreat, and you want everybody under one roof and everybody have their own private quarters. Get that full service kitchen you can work with there. You've also got the wet bar there, that great back porch area, the fire pit area, and we're going to have some cooler temperatures beginning this week. How cool is that? Great. So pretty soon it's going to be leather jacket and blue jean weather. It is, and you're excited about that, as am I. But wouldn't it be nice to go out there and just maybe crack open a cold one and sit around the fire pit? Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus, if you're coming for a sporting event, or maybe you just want to go tour campus or be close, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse kind of neatly tucked away in a quiet area, just a few minutes away from campus. And if you are coming from a ballgame weekend, you can do all your tailgating right there. You can do all your cooking and do all your stuff right there. Makes it so much easier. Instead of having to pack everything up and drag it to campus, go to the ball game, pack it all back up again. I know you have fun with it, but I know it's a hassle. Kind of take the hassle out of your game day weekends and book the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, their Facebook page is going to auto-populate. And all the pictures that are available of all the amenities that you're going to be able to use while you're there are there for you to peruse and enjoy. Also, when you Google, there are going to be some booking options that come up. It's going to be Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want to, but if you want to save some money, let's book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. BSR10, the number 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. How cool is that? Just by listening to this show, you're finding out about a great place to stay, and you can stay there at a discount just by being a Boneyard listener. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle is the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay. Limited Media Corps on Saturday, as you guys are well aware. I thought Jeff Lebby was actually really good in postgame, and I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about some things that he said and kind of how I receive them. And how I think maybe you should receive them. Does that make sense? I'm going to just kind of put it in context as best I can to kind of share some things with you, just kind of some impressions about this. But, looking back at the Jeff Lebby press conference, and you can see the video, and it's all this is all the game day stuff is free. We do provide some call-ins from time to time, but any of the actual game day coverage is free. And nobody's going to have more than we're going to have over jeanspage.com. So you should be a subscriber. But even if you're not, if you're looking for Mississippi State news, you come to us. Because we're going to have more free news about your Bulldogs than anybody, including the university. All right, so here we go. The first question, anytime that coaches, after an emotional loss, you know there are things that he's already going to have a bullet in the chamber when he walks in, right? He's already going to have things he wants to say. So I always kind of ask about, what did you learn about your team? That's important. I think it's an important question, but it usually gives the coach a chance to kind of say what's on his heart. The first statement of his first answer after his first loss, I think, is very profound. Coach Lebby says, I did a bad job getting this ready. The way we played early on in the first half, our guys were pressing, not playing incredibly clean. That was the difference in the ball game. I learned we have a group of guys who bounce back, and they fought their butt off to give us a chance in the second half to go win the game. We get a stop there at the end, and we're going to get the ball back to score and possibly tie the game up. I learned we have guys that will fight. They want to play for each other. We've got to play better earlier to give us a chance to win. Now, I don't just mean Mississippi State, and I don't just mean college football. But how many times do you see a coach from the very beginning come in there and just own it? And that's what I thought Jeff Lebby did. I thought Lebby from the beginning, hey, I did a bad job getting us ready. Now, let's think about what we did to get ready. We went up a day early, and I had a chance to visit with Zach Selman in the press box prior to the game. I told him, I said, hey, and good on you for giving us the opportunity to come up here early and try to get acclimated, right? So we get there a day early. We practice on Friday, and it was a turf field in that Arizona heat. And so we practice on Friday, get a chance to kind of get settled, and then we go play a game, and we really, really, really just rolled snake eyes early in that ball game on both sides of the football. And those are the things that I begin to ask myself. It's like, hey, why were we not ready to play? right? And there's only so many things you can do to get buy-in. But, you know, when it's a complete breakdown like it was for us early, and there were times, too, we had guys running around in secondary trying to figure out who to cover, and we had some alignment issues and things like that. And but I like a coach, rather than come in here and kind of, you know, share the blame, he's like, hey, not we, not they, not our kids, I did a bad job getting us ready. And I don't know if that's accurate, but I love the fact that he's like, you know what, hey, this is on me. I'm the head coach. I'm not a coordinator anymore. I'm not a guy out there packing my bag and letting my head coach go out there and face the media. It's me. So that impressed me. It really did. It did impress me. You know, a couple things, too. I asked a little bit about, you know, the handling the emotions. Of that. You get the OPI, the next thing you know, you give up a scoop and score a play later. Levy says, that was a frustrating moment. He had a chance to create a huge chunk there, and then Blake is trying to throw the ball away and not take a sack, and the ball flips out of his hand, and the guy scoops and scores. At the end, we're down 7 at the end of the game. If every single drive will end with a kick, we have a good chance to be on the right side of things. That was a huge turning point for them. I think we all saw it the same way. That sequence changed everything. It did. And it was very difficult to try to overcome that. And that, again, we talk about digging a big hole. We had no juice. No juice until we came back in the second half and kind of got things rolling. We got some stops, just not enough stops. But let's be honest. If we go out there offensively and play like we're capable of playing, you don't need as many stops from your defense. Again, we're down 4 touchdowns. I mean, you're going to have to shut them out in the second half to even have a chance. We do. But again, that last drive, they could have scored. We all know this. But you can't put yourself in a situation where you're down 4 touchdowns and trying to come back. It's just that's just not winning football, right? I asked Lubby today, anything stand out to you after watching the tape? He goes, both sides of it all in all 3 phases of the game. You want to play a heck of a lot better earlier so you don't dig yourself that 30-3 hole. Proud of the guys for fighting and staying with it and continuing to play the next play in the second half, creating a little momentum and cutting it to a 1-score game. Our guys know what it is to be on the right and wrong side of things. The margin of error when you're playing a good football team, when you're on the road, understanding how clean you have to play to win. That's a stress for us. The constant messaging is understanding it's all about execution. Looking forward to cleaning that up and being in Davis-Wade Saturday night. Brian came back and asked a little bit about, you know, what are the lessons in defeat? And that's one of the things that we, you know, it's kind of an old adage in sports, but it is true. It's a reason that it rings true is because people that actually are in the arena will tell you that. You learn more about your team in defeat than you do in victory. You do, because that exposes your weaknesses. And then you get back in the drawing room and you get back on the practice field and say, hey, here's what we got to do schematically to fix this. When you're winning, you got a lot less to fix. And so the question was a good one. I thought the answer was even better. I think there's a bunch of them, said Levy. Going through this as a group year one, our guys understand that we're going to be who I was last Monday. What he's talking about there is he's going to continue his operation the same way each week, win or lose. You know, we're not going to be emotionally dependent on the outcome of a ball game. Back to Levy's comments. They're not going to get someone new or different in the building. The trust and culture we've created over the last 7 months is for these times, not for the easy times. It's for the times that are really hard. When things get exposed, our guys have responded the right way. They had great energy in the building this morning. I think they wondered how the building would be today. They have a great sense of understanding that we have to find ways to get better to execute cleaner. But the people leading them are not going to be different people because of an outcome on Saturday. End of quote. Now, the thing that I have always said about that, when it comes to leadership, whether it be family or work or with a team, everybody is going to look to the boss, to the chief, to the coach, to figure out how to act. When you get punched in the mouth, and next thing you know, you show up the next day and you go to work, really, the attitude of the team is going to be dependent on those first few interactions with those in charge. Those are the people that set the culture. You're in charge of the thermostat. Now, if they come in there and you start browbeating everybody, most everybody's going to quit. Now, they may not, you know, quit and leave, but they're going to give up on you. You're like, man, we went out there and played the best we could. We had some things not go our way, and I got to walk in here after suffering through this on social media and have my coach beat me up. And you say, but Steve, they got to be harder. Are you harder? Are you? Right? Let's not expect things from other people that we don't expect from ourselves. But the point that I'm trying to make here is I think Jeff Lebby is handling this exactly the right way. You cannot walk in the room on Monday and find the head coach stressed. I need to know as a player that this guy has the answer. I need to know that this guy is not reacting emotionally to a ball game on Saturday. That we're going to go in here and we're going to flush that and we're going to get ready for Toledo. That's an important aspect of things, right? We can't replay that game against Arizona State. We don't get that back. You know, we don't get an opportunity. It wasn't a dress rehearsal. That game is behind us. And so when they walked in the building this morning, it all had to be on, hey, now it's time to get after Toledo. And I asked Coach Lebby, we've done some research on Toledo already. I asked him, what are your early impressions of Toledo? Great answer. This program is incredibly established. The head football coach has been there 9 years. That's Jason Candle. 16 years overall as a coordinator or head coach. He was elevated to interim coach for a bowl game and then assumed a full-time job. It was pretty much a done deal. But back to Lebby's comments. They've had a ton of success. For them to come down here Saturday night will be no big deal. We stress that for our guys for exactly who we'll get. They have a defensive unit that has 7 of the 11 starters that are 6-year players. They're an old unit. Offensively, they have some skilled guys that can do some really good things. It'll be a total team effort. They returned a kickoff for a touchdown last week. They have a running back who's a really good player for them that we'll have to bottle up and tackle and make sure he doesn't become a problem in special teams. They've won a bunch of conference championships. That staff is established. We look forward to the challenge. One of the things Lebby's right about is Toledo is not going to be scared to come down here and play. They're not. This is not going to be. Jason Candle's a guy that it's probably a powerful coach that's still on the G5 level. And he's been mentioned in connection with a lot of different jobs. It was a discussion last year. They may go to Michigan State. Ultimately didn't come down to that. But, you know, Candle is a guy that has done some things innovative offensively. And, again, we'll get into this Wednesday. They've not been great offensively this year. And again, a couple of non-offensive touchdowns have kind of kept numbers down. But you got a starting quarterback that's throwing this completing less than 50% of his passes. You got a running game where you hadn't had a guy run over 100 yards yet, you know. And so, and they're basically they have some question marks on offense, but defensively they've been good. And again, age matters in college athletics. So we'll see how things go. And again, we'll preview them on Wednesday, but you know, I was working through some things, you know, earlier today. Their time of possession in that game that they won against UMass over the weekend, and they won it with some margin too. And they win, there's really no doubt about it. They possessed the ball 15 minutes. That's it. They had the football less than Mississippi State had it against Arizona State, and they put up 38 points. And again, not on the offensive side. But this is a team that has kind of struggled to control the flow of the game a little bit. But, yeah, they're not going to be a pushover. They were picked, I think, 4th in their league. You know, they had a big year last year. But they're not going to be at least been intimidated. Those coaches at those programs and the kids that have the opportunity to go to a place like Toledo, they are absolutely living for this. They are absolutely excited to have a chance to come in here and play in the Southeastern Conference and say, hey, and the bottom line is this. We need to make sure that, you know, we go prove who we are. You know, this is our chance to put some things on tape. This is our chance to go make some things happen. This is our chance to go prove that, hey, maybe we got passed over. We're just as good as those guys. Not to mention, you know, it's not a big deal for us to beat them. But historically, it would be a huge deal for them to come in here and beat us. And don't think that's not something that's going to be preached in that locker room all week long. That's an important aspect of this. It's like, hey, this is a program-defining type win for us. And granted, this is not a great Mississippi State team, but there's still that SEC logo on the jersey. That's important to understand. So, yeah, it's a target. They're going to pack. They're not going to come down here and be the least bit intimidated. They're not going to show us any respect at all. They'll respect us as an opponent, but they're not going to come down here and kneel down to us. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So we're going to have to play well. I do expect State to bounce back, and I do think there will be some things that we can do offensively to make things easier. But to be honest with you, the concerns for me, are the running game. Obviously, you know, we cannot run the football. And again, this is a shared responsibility. This isn't all in the running back's room. This isn't all in the offensive line. This isn't all in the play calling. It's kind of all of the above. And we got to figure that out. That's one of the things that Jeff Lebby, you kind of mentioned, you know, Saturday night. We'll figure it out. But, guys, you start looking at this. So we have attempted 62 running attempts on the year. 62. You aware of this? Yeah, the net for us, 227 yards. That's 3.7 yards a carry. Our leading rusher is Kevon Lee through two games. He has 75 yards, averaging 37.5. He's at 18 carries. Davin Booth had 14, 46 yards. Creed Whittemore has had one catch. He had one rush. He has 41 yards. Johnny Daniels, 8 for 22. And so we haven't had anybody really step up here. You know, the highest average gain per rush is Xavier Gayton, 3 for 16. And I think he's probably our most explosive runner of the running backs room. But he's a freshman. You know, we got Kevin Coleman kind of involved last week, Creed the week before. You know, we got to do some things. And I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, I don't know if you don't – they kind of showed some things this week, like Blake Chapin kind of flexed out a little bit, like Kevin Coleman was going to run some Wildcat. I don't know if you don't do some of that. But when you look at the fact that we've given up 472 yards rushing in two games, that's not great. And the thing that I will point out to you is something that most of you that kept up will probably already know. But – our defensive line recruiting in the portal wasn't great. You know, you got Kendrick Bingley-Jones, you get Paca, but those guys are reserves from Power 5 programs. And now they're in. You know, they're playing. They're giving us what they have. But we didn't get a difference maker out of the portal on a defensive line. We did get Booth as a running back, and I do think he'll be okay, but you know, he's primarily a G5 guy. He's a former junior college guy. Playing big-time football now, really, for the first time. All due respect to Utah State. But we made, you know, we had some misses in running back and defensive line portal recruiting, and now they're coming home to roost. That's, you know, simple as I can say it. You know, we knew we had some needs at those positions, and, you know, we weren't able to fill them maybe as well as we'd like to. And the thing that I know about the Southeastern Conference, and you guys have been around a while too, when you can't run the football and you can't stop the run, you don't win a whole lot. So we got to fix it. Now, the encouraging thing on at least the defensive side is we did make some changes in that second half. And again, I don't know why we waited so long to adjust, but nevertheless, we did make some changes. And I thought the effort and the tackling was better in the second half. In the first half, it was not good. And let me see if I can't find those numbers. Let me talk a little bit about that, about the, how many yards after contact. I'm not going to go look for that. We're ready to get out of here. But, you know, so much of their yards came after contact. You know, and granted, the Scatbo kid's really good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from him. But he's not better than anybody we're going to see in the Southeastern Conference. And that could be a harbinger of things to come. We got to get this fixed. You can't go sign a free agent. You got to figure some things out. And we got a lot of smart people on the staff. I know there's some people out there already ready to give up on the season. I'm encouraging you not to be one of them. You go out and you get a win this week, and then you get ready for Florida. And that's going to be a challenge too. You know, every game this year is going to be a challenge. You look at it right now and say, you know what, Steve, we should beat Toledo, we should beat UMass. Tell me where we get three more. Well, you know, we'll just take it week to week and figure it out. But I trust Jeff Lebby. I do. And I remember that first Dan Mullen staff. You know, we kind of had to put it together. The university had to help Dan, didn't have to help Jeff. But, you know, it's a process. And I think it's important that, hey, we're not here for a week or for a season. You know, guys, we're here for a program. We're here for a tenure. And so, again, as I open the show with, there are a lot of people out there that have some very pointed things to say. And sometimes, like, I'm like you guys, for most of you. When you talk negatively about Mississippi State, I take that personal. I do. And sometimes I've learned to just kind of let it roll. And so many of you are like me. When somebody says something negative about Mississippi State because you are so emotionally invested, you take it as a personal insult. And it hurts even more when it's one of our own. But again, let me remind you, those people love Mississippi State too. And many of those people that complain loudly give a lot of money, right? And they buy a lot of tickets and they go to ball games. And there was a tremendous amount of Mississippi State people that made the trip to Tempe, Arizona. It was great. But those people are shareholders just like the rest of us. They're just very vocal in their frustration. And so I just encourage everybody, no matter how vocal you are or how quiet you are or how prolific you are on social media, let's hang in here with this staff and here with this team, and let's just see what happens at the end of the year. But Jeff Lebby's going to be the coach for the next few years. And so I think the best thing for all of us is let's all just kind of let's get together, and when there is a problem, let's handle it within ourselves. And let's go support the Mississippi State Bulldogs. That's how I feel about it. I'm looking forward to going to Floating, too. If you hadn't done so, you can go do that, too. You can download the True Rest app, or you can call 662-268-7601. Huge weekend floating when Eastern Kentucky came to town. So if you're thinking about floating this weekend, you're going to be in town, I'd encourage you to go ahead and book your appointment now. Go ahead and think about that. Say, hey, Steve, I wanted to try it. I'm out of town. Now's a good time to book the appointment. Don't wait until Friday because you have to have an appointment. Sometimes you can walk in, and trust me, Dan is very accommodating. You know, if we have the ability to float you, we will. But you don't want to take that chance. Go ahead and book your appointment. You'll be glad you did. And, of course, I guess you're about 4 weeks away from the Dude being out. If you hadn't pre-ordered, go to dutynoblebook.com. All books ordered through the website will be signed. And certainly come join us over at jeanspage.com. I'll be back on Wednesday, and again, we'll do a full preview of Toledo and kind of what we've learned from their media opportunities and from Mississippi State's media opportunities as we prepare for week three of college football. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week. Save big.